Small businesses are the cornerstones of our local communities, and small business owners are hardworking and passionate people who are chasing down their ambitions while there's a lot on the line. So, let Verizon champion your small business dreams. Whether you own a small business, are scaling one, or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon business expert. Plus, Verizon business experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Verizon, well, they've got you back. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business.
So why do you want to learn a new language?
I'll tell you why. Because ¿dónde está el baño? Can be a very important question at times. You know, Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. Fast track your language acquisition with immersive lessons designed to teach you to pick up languages in a natural way. I love the fact that I can go from my laptop to my phone to pretty much anywhere and learn the language of my choice. Not to mention, I'm bringing my communication skills to new heights. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, StarTalk Radio listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/StarTalk. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/StarTalk today.
Welcome to StarTalk, your place in the universe where science and pop culture collide. StarTalk begins right now. Jack.
Yes, what's up?
It's time for a Things You Thought You Knew.
Oh, right on.
Episode of StarTalk.
If we actually said it from my perspective, stuff you about to learn.
Stuff you never knew.
Yeah, because you know damn well you didn't know it before. There was no way you thought you knew. So now it's just stuff you're about to learn.
We have three whole segments, and each one is fresh and different of things you thought you knew. So let's start.
Okay.
There's a feature of the James Webb Space Telescope that I haven't seen talked about much. People only just think of it as some next big telescope that's out there in space, bringing us badass images. But there's certain engineering scientific features that are unique with it that I think are worth calling out.
Okay. That sounds good.
All right. If you can hang with me on this. All right. Allow me to remind us that unlike Hubble, which orbited Earth 360 miles up, this thing is parked a million miles away.
That's
in the opposite direction of the sun from the Earth.
It's pretty wild.
Okay. Yeah. And so I say parked. It and the Earth are orbiting the sun together. And so basically, if you look back in the Earth direction, the sun will always be there.
So it's using the Earth as sunblock.
Well, it has some motion where it is.
Okay.
But it's not going to drift away from that location, even though there's some movement within the location.
Right.
The point is, occasionally Earth will block the sun.
Right.
But the value of this is you always know which way the sun is.
Right.
At all times.
Gotcha.
Okay? It's behind you. Okay?
Right.
All right? I'm looking out
the
space.
The only way to take good pictures. And know what they say? Like, hey.
Good one. Yeah, it's true.
Get the sun behind you.
That's right. That's right. So that everyone is squinting as they look
right,
in the
exactly.
Camera.
Right. That's funny.
So, by the way, when I was a kid, you know, home movies had these really bright lights.
Yep.
Right? And you could barely open your eyes when they were doing this. You know why the lights were so bright?
No.
Because the film wasn't that sensitive. You know, if you took a photo just with a regular handheld camera,
right,
you can adjust the exposure to let more light come in.
Right.
And then properly expose the film.
Right.
But in video, going however many frames a second, every frame is its own photo.
Right.
Okay? And you need enough light in that fraction of a second to create the image. So when you come indoors, you have to bring out the floodlights. And for the old timers would remember this. Young folks would say, Daddy, what the hell are you talking about? What?
Right. Exactly. Right. Did we not pay the electric bill again? What is happening?
So... but in there is some wisdom, because what it says is, if you're going to take a picture of something that's dim, mm-hmm. you either have to illuminate it yourself, which we really can't do for the early universe. That doesn't work.
Right.
Or you can take a long exposure to allow the light to accumulate. But while you're taking that long exposure, you can't jiggle the camera. It has to be perfectly stationary. Still. We can't take a flash picture of the outer universe.
Right.
So we have to open the exposure for a long time. Okay, so now watch. Different bands of the electromagnetic spectrum tell us different things about the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So if you're going to do that, you need telescopes that specialize in the chosen band. And by the way, we didn't even know light came in bands other than visible light. Somebody had to discover that.
Right.
I mean, just think about it. Why would you have any inkling, why would you believe at all
that there's an
X-ray? That there was a kind of light out there that your eyes could not detect?
Right.
Especially if you're religious, right? If you're religious, what? God made humans and we have eyeballs to see light. And how could there possibly be something we can't see? All right. So there's certain expectations of who and what we are as a life form that were completely overrun the day infrared light was discovered.
Mm.
Okay. And did I tell you how we discovered infrared? Did I tell you?
Uh-huh. But
it was, William Herschel discovered it.
Okay, never mind. And, tell the story.
I was thinking
of something else. I'm like, okay, wait a minute.
Okay. William Herschel discovered it. And how did he do it? He knew that Isaac Newton figured out that white light is composed of colors.
Right.
You just pass it through a prism and it breaks it apart. So he repeated this experiment. You put a little slit of light in your room, but the whole room has to be dark so that only the spectrum shows up, all right? And you pass it through a triangle prism. You get a rainbow on your table, and there it is, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, violet. And he had the foresight to ask the question, I wonder if the different colors of light have different temperatures.
Yeah, well, okay.
Just to even ask that question.
It's a pretty impressive question.
Think about that. It's a simple question, maybe retrospectively obvious, but at the time, so what does he do? He has a thermometer and puts it in each of the different colors of light. But wait a minute, you need a control thermometer. So he took his control thermometer, put it off to the side, just to the side of the red, okay? So that was not in the spectrum, all right? And that would presumably just measure room temperature, all right? But it was still on the table where he was measuring the rest of the temperatures. Your control has to have a minimum of variation other than the one thing you want to change, okay? So the thermometer's on the table, but just off to the side. And so there he is, he's measuring the temperature of blue and red and yellow. And what he's finding is that the thermometer off to the side is consistently measuring higher temperature than all the rest of the thermometers, all the rest of the readings that he was taking. And he said, WTF. I'm sure that's what he said, okay?
Yes, exactly.
I am sure.
And right after that, he went, OMG. OMG, WTF.
All right, so he publishes this paper, and it's beautiful in how he's tiptoeing around a discovery because he doesn't really know. He said, could there be light that is unfit for vision?
Unfit for business.
This is how he described it.
That's a great description, too.
And he does this enough, and he's, I think I've discovered light unfit for vision. You're damn right you did. Yeah. And it's light below the red, and what do we call it?
Infrared. Wow.
Okay.
And it's so funny, you still see the hubris of human existence there. It's unfit for vision, not we can't see it.
We blind to
right,
this thing.
Exactly.
It's got the problem.
It's got the problem. Not us.
It's unfit
it's
for
unfit
us.
For vision.
I hadn't thought about it that way. Very good. So it turns out, so that's just an interesting sort of discovery experiment. And then we would learn, well, if that exists, maybe other bands of light exist. And so thus, thereafter, we would discover ultraviolet, microwaves, radio waves, X-rays, and they each have their moment in the sun, so to speak. And mm-hmm. that fills out the entire, what we call electromagnetic spectrum. Only a small fraction is visible light. And so now you're going to say, what in the universe gives off infrared light? And you find out that things that have kind of any temperature at all will radiate in the infrared. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, so for example, if you have an electric stove and you put it on low and turn out all the lights, can you see it? No.
Right.
Not if it's on low.
No.
But you put your hand on it, you'll burn your hand. Okay.
So Tell me about it.
Something is coming out of the stove.
Right.
And it's not unfit for vision, right? It's right. infrared light. Okay. And when the thing gets hot enough, it's not only giving off infrared, it'll begin to also give off visible light.
Right.
Okay? But if the thing is cool enough, it's primarily only going to be giving you infrared. Suppose you want to see infrared, all right? And by the way, infrared doesn't make it very nicely through Earth's atmosphere.
Mm.
You know how you know this? Because we have greenhouse gases that trap the infrared that is down here, okay?
Right.
So the greenhouse effect are molecules that have a special relationship with infrared. And there's the ground trying to radiate infrared back into space. It said, no, you don't. And it sends it back down and accumulates. Okay.
Wow.
So here's the cool thing about the James Webb Telescope. It has a special reflective surface on its mirrors
mm-hmm.
that are tuned to reflect infrared with very high efficiency. That's number one, reflect and focus.
Okay.
Number two, if you're trying to detect something that is a very low temperature, what happens if you have a temperature and you're the detector? You end up detecting yourself.
Exactly. Right.
Can't have that.
I went searching for the universe and all I found was me.
So you need a way to cool the telescope. So we
right.
could send up cryogenic liquids and things, but they would eventually evaporate or gain temperature. And so what we figured out to do, the engineers who were tasked with this,
mm-hmm.
That telescope has a series of thermal baffles between it and the sun. All right? And so those, just take a look at any photo of the full telescope deployed. They're basically screened. They're like sheets that are put up, a series of them in the row. So sunlight comes and hits one of them. It reflects some back. Others get absorbed and gets retransmitted to the next sheet, but that gets resent back. There's this multiple triple reflections. And at each layer, the amount of heat from the sun is dramatically dropped.
Gotcha.
Okay. Dramatic. By the time it comes out the other side, it's barely there at all.
Wow.
And so the temperature of the telescope can now drop to what is basically the temperature of deep space without any influence of sunlight increasing its body temperature, if you will.
That's wild.
It's totally wild. So now the James Webb Space Telescope can observe deep in the infrared part of the spectrum.
That's amazing.
Because it can.
Right.
And so there you have it.
That
a little primer on infrared and infrared telescopes and how that works.
Well, there you go, people. I hope you were paying attention because you're going to be at a cocktail party where this is going to come in very, very handy. I plan on using it this weekend, I'm telling you right now.
What's that skirt for on the outer edge of the telescope?
There you go.
There it is. I suppose
you didn't realize that there were baffles that actually filter the sunlight in such a way that cools the telescope so that we're able to register the infrared without registering the heat from the telescope itself. Yes, this is the kind of stuff you learn when you're an extremely smart individual. By the way, off with you. Okay.
That's why you don't have any friends left at your party, right? All right, Chuck, we got to take a break, but when we come back, more things you thought you knew on Star Talk.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you, like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the US on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.
Whether you're a family vacation traveler, business tripper, or long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. And that's good, because there are a lot of me's. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels feature locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. Hey, that's me. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. That's me, too. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. Hey, that's me, too. I guess I'm just going to have to stay at all of them. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travel comes true.
Hi, I'm Chris Cohen from Haworth, New Jersey, and I support Star Talk on Patreon. Please enjoy this episode of Star Talk Radio with your and my favorite personal astrophysicist, Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Welcome back to Things You Thought You Knew. I got a doozy for you here, Chuck.
Okay.
Are you seated? Are you ready?
I am seated. I know I'm short, Neil, but I am seated.
Okay. All right, here it goes. So you might have heard intermittently every now and then that Earth's poles will flip. Have you ever heard? You've heard that, right?
I've heard people say it.
Say it. Well, thank you for clarifying that, right? And clarifying that it's not what is true, it's what people say or think is true. These are not always the same thing. So it was especially bandied about when we were approaching not only the year 2000, but also the year 2012. Mm-hmm. But every 10 years, people band together and want to declare that the world is about to end based on some cosmic force. I'm intrigued. I think that people need followers. If you're the one saying the world's going to end and no one else is, people will think you have special knowledge. And then you become sort of this guru of prognostication. So let me just make it clear that Earth's rotation axis with Santa Claus at the top is not flipping. That is a completely stable configuration. We bob up and down a little bit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
On our spinning axis, we not only precess, which is a fancy word for wobble. Okay, we wobble. If you ever played with a top, if the top mm-hmm. slows down, you see it wobble. But also we bob up and down, okay? And they all happen on very different timescales. But none of them involve a flipping of Earth's axis, north and south. However, what does flip are the magnetic poles. The magnetic poles. Now, let me just nip something in the bud here, okay, just so you know. You're old enough to have probably used a compass in your life when you were a kid, right?
Yeah.
Okay, which way does the compass always point?
North is what they say.
Okay, so that's correct. And it points to the North magnetic pole, all right?
Right.
Which, by the way, does not exactly align with Santa Claus. All right.
Okay.
By the way, there are things in the universe where it's almost at 90 degrees to each other. So there's nothing specially, it's no cosmic pre-requirement that they perfectly align in the spinning object. All right. So in our case, they don't align. The North Pole is sitting somewhere in northern Canada. All right. So if you're trying to find Santa Claus with a compass and you're in northern Canada, you're going to land in the wrong spot.
Oh, wow. Right? Okay.
Just to be clear about that.
No wonder we can't find him.
You didn't get your presents this
year,
Charlie.
That's why he's so good.
You didn't get your pony.
Exactly. I can't find this. You're going to pay what you owe, Santa.
So it'll find the North magnetic pole. All right. So that thing that's pointing there is the North pole of the compass needle. The compass needle is itself a magnet with a north and a south pole. Now, here's a little known fact, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell me about north and south poles of a magnet?
That
you take two magnets together, what do they do?
Well, you know, they repel each other if it's the same pole.
Which repels? Which repels?
So north to north and south to south.
They each repel each other.
They repel each other, right,
Like charges repel.
Right.
So wait a minute. If the needle of a compass that says north on it points to the north pole, shouldn't it be pointing in the opposite direction?
Right. It should be repelled and pointing down.
Okay, except it's not. It's attracted, which tells you that Earth's south magnetic pole is in the north because the north part of all magnets point in that direction.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know if you knew that.
No.
Okay.
Here's the thing. What you did was you took the empirical and put it first.
Yes.
And then you said the ridiculous thing afterwards. So now what am I left to do? I'm like, well, he already proved it. So what am I going to do? Like,
yeah, it's pre-approved.
It's pre-approved
science.
I can't say like, yeah, right, whatever. You know,
because you're already like, with me on it.
Exactly.
You helped
like,
me.
Yes, absolutely. Right.
Demonstrate this. They don't tell you that in the Boy Scouts.
No, they don't.
That the Earth's south magnetic pole is in the north, which is why all north poles of magnets point there.
That's sorry, little Tommy, but you're screwed. your compass is lying to you.
Compass concept of reality is off by 180 degrees.
That's
all right,
wild.
So here's what happens. We have a magnetic field because our core is fluid, all right? All the heavy stuff when Earth was molten, the heavy stuff fell to the middle. And the heavy stuff is the iron. And the light stuff, which is the rocks, floated to the top, okay? Mm-hmm. And we don't think of rocks as light, but it's much lighter than metal, all right? And so nearly all the metals went to the core. Some got frozen in place. As we have these ores, these veins of ores, as Earth is solidifying, it didn't fall down fast enough and it got frozen in place. There are other occasions where volcanoes can redistribute material from below and put it up in the crust. But basically, most of Earth's iron is in our core. And it's hot. And so the iron is molten. And when you have molten and you're spinning, you have moving, magnetically chargeable metals, okay? Iron is magnetizable. When you have moving metal, you create what's called a dynamo. And in a dynamo, you basically create a magnetic field from scratch.
Wow.
That's why old, dead planets that have cooled do not have magnetic fields.
Right.
Wow. Okay. They don't have magnetic fields. Like Mars, no magnetic field to speak of. Okay. Because it's cooled faster than Earth did. It's smaller, so cool. If you're smaller, you will cool faster. And so, no, there's not. You don't have this churning. By the way, Mars once did, for sure. Mars has the largest known volcano in the solar system. Okay, so Mars used to be hot on the inside, but that's called Olympus Mons. All right, makes our volcanoes look like molehills. By the way, it's huge. Wow. Anyhow, the point I'm getting at here is the dynamo goes through cycles.
Okay.
And it goes stronger, then it goes weaker, and it flips.
Gotcha.
And so every 500,000 years or so, the magnetic field of Earth has flipped. Period.
Okay. That's pretty wild.
Okay. Yeah, it's fascinating. And while it's flipping, it actually goes to zero and then recovers coming out the other side.
Okay. So then that makes me ask, what does the magnetic field of Earth do for Earth and do for us?
Other than give compasses a meaning in life?
Yeah. Other than confuse Boy Scouts who don't understand that the compass should be pointing in the opposite direction.
Well, Einstein was quite intrigued by a compass, that some mysterious force that you can't see, touch, smell, or taste is forcing the needle to move.
Right.
He was very intrigued by that as a child. So I think we'd be thankful that we had compasses back. If it was just GPS with a handheld device finding north, I think maybe Einstein would not, you know, he might have gone on to play basketball or something. Who knows?
Wow.
Who knows what career he might have had? So actually, that's the opposite of a Gary Larson comic. That's where I got that idea from. There's a picture of Einstein on a basketball court.
Right.
He's like dribbling, right? And it said Albert Einstein in school was destined to be all-star basketball player until an ankle injury sent him into his physics books.
That's funny.
So the point is that the magnetic field has flipped. And what the magnetic field does when it's operating is it creates a magnetic shield around Earth, if you will. And when charged particles come from the sun, the solar wind, we call it.
Right.
They see this magnetic field and they spiral down towards the poles.
Uh-huh.
Or towards the magnetic poles.
Right.
And as they spiral down, they careen into air molecules. And if you have two molecules that collide with each other, energy gets exchanged. Okay. So your energy of motion gets boosted into the energy inside the molecule itself. So you've excited the molecule. And then on its own timetable, like fractions of a second, it de-excites and then radiates visible light. So wait a minute, what is that? Oh, I know what that is. That's the aurora.
That's pretty wild.
The aurora borealis that's in the north. And take a gander what it's called in the south.
The southern aurora borealis.
Okay, thank you, Chuck. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
No, it's the aurora australis.
The aurora australis.
Australis, right.
Okay.
Because it's symmetric, right?
Yeah,
we have a north pole and a south pole.
South pole.
So we make a big deal of our own aurora because 90% of the human population of the world lives north of the equator.
Right.
So we get aurora. There it is. And we know the field is flipped. You know why? Because you can see volcanic plains where iron came out and the iron aligned with the magnetic field when it froze in place.
Oh.
And you compare this from different generations of volcanic eruptions and you can see the flipping of the orientation of the iron particles.
That is...
It's remarkable.
That is really outstanding. That's pretty wild because, it's a magnet. So it's metal in a magnet and it's actually...
It's doing its thing.
Succumbing to the properties of magnetism.
Correct. And if Earth is helping that out, it's going to align them when it freezes out of the volcanic flow. So yeah, no, it's pretty cool stuff. And it all comes together. And by the way, this involved like astrophysicists and geologists. And there was a worry, if we don't have a magnetic field,
right,
that means the charged particles come straight into us and don't get directed to the poles. Would that be bad for life on Earth? So it might be, you might think it would be, but there are no particularly striking extinction episodes.
Right.
At the times when these
when it flips and it goes to zero.
Yeah, by the way, animals are going extinct all the time, especially now because humans have their hands in this process.
Yeah,
we're told it's the sixth extinction, really.
Wow.
All right. So that's in case you didn't know that your compass points south.
That's great.
Chuck, we've got to take a quick break, but when we come back, more things you thought you knew on Star Talk.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
For over 130 years, McCormick has helped you make mom's lasagna to keep her secret recipe alive. Take over taco night. No matter how chaotic your day is, conquer the bake sale, even if you get to it last minute. And craft the perfect Sunday brunch when it's not even Sunday. Because with McCormick by your side, it's gonna be great.
Chuck, we're back.
Yes.
Things you thought you knew. All right, so I got something for you. So it's not so much a thing you thought you knew, but I have to address something that I think we've seen in the news. You know, every 6 months goes by, and then you see a headline, astrophysicists have to rethink the Big Bang.
Or absolutely.
Big Bang is debunked. Or,
yes.
Or did you see any of these at any time?
Oh, my God. Recently, the James Webb Space Telescope, supposedly, the headline is, did the James Webb Telescope make scientists think the Big Bang? Or has the James Webb Telescope debunked the Big Bang?
Yeah, it makes excellent clickbait.
Yeah.
There it is. It's clickbait headline. So let me just explain a few things that's going on here, okay? On the frontier of scientific research, it is a bloody place, right? Ideas are slayed.
Two scientists enter. One scientist leaves.
It's the octagon.
Welcome to Science Dome.
On the frontier, ideas are contested daily.
Right.
And most ideas turn out to be wrong. All right, so what you are as a scientist working on the frontier, you're in this idea factory.
Right.
That's what you are.
Right.
And you want to, the successful idea is not the one that's argued most strenuously or argued by the most articulate.
Yeah, that's called politics.
It's called politics. Exactly. It has nothing to do with either of those. It has to do with evidence. All right, which idea is supported by evidence? So typically what happens is you can test your ideas, and here's where you have to be convincing. You have to say, I think my idea is better than your idea, and here's a way to test it.
Right.
Boom. So I have an idea. So if you don't like me, The way you show it is you design an experiment to show I'm wrong.
Ooh. Okay. Oh, that's some cutthroat, nasty that's stuff right there.
It's some nasty. Ooh. All right.
That's so some now, real housewives stuff.
Not real housewives.
Let me tell you something, Phaedra. Your hypothesis is trash. Trash.
Okay. You don't like me, and you're going to show me that I'm wrong. And so you go home and you invent an experiment. You invent an experiment to test my idea.
Right.
With the objective of showing that I'm wrong. And it turns out, hey, wait a minute. I'm getting what the dude says.
Right.
You got to publish that.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Someone else performs another kind of experiment aimed at testing the same hypothesis. And they get kind of the same result. And then someone from a different country with a different wall current, 240 volts maybe, and they plug their stuff in, and they're getting the same result. When you have repeated experiments verifying an idea, we have a new objective truth that has emerged in those sciences.
Right.
And what I'm telling you is that the Big Bang Theory, by the way, if you type that into Google, you get the TV show. My personal jury is still out on whether that's a good or bad thing. It doesn't mean, like, science is so popular, it's a TV show, and that's the first thing you hit, because you got to get through that. Then there's the Big Bang is a K-pop group. You got to get through that. Then you get to the origin of the universe, okay?
Wow.
In a Google search. Just thought I'd point that out.
Well, it's good to know that we Google in order of importance.
There it is. Just saying.
Wow. Right.
So here's the point. The tenets of the Big Bang, that the universe started out small, hot, dense, where matter and energy were a primordial soup, where the forces of nature had merged, all of that is thoroughly supported by observations of this universe. Thoroughly supported. Okay? Now, there's some things that, well, did this really cause that? Or might it be something that we don't know about yet? And who ordered up the dark matter? We don't know where that came from. And where's this expansion? We don't know where that came from. But we can describe it. And we can measure it. Here's the point. If tomorrow you have a new idea about how the universe works, it's going to enclose everything we've been talking about up to that moment that has been experimentally and observationally verified. Mm-hmm. You can enclose it in something deeper. Okay? You can say, oh, wait, I have an idea. Our universe is just one in a multiverse.
Right.
Fine. Okay? But our universe would have started with a Big Bang. Okay?
Right.
And our universe would have expanded from a dense, hot, cool state. And it's been cooling ever since. That's observed. And that's real. And that's not going away. That's my point. So what you have are journalists trying to make clickbait. And if there's some little thing in the early universe that is still on the frontier, still being contested in the octagon, in the fight dome, and some new idea is emerging over another idea, people say, oh, Big Bang is in trouble. Scientists go back to the drawing. But Big Bang is not in trouble.
Right.
I'm just saying, it's not in trouble. It is a whole thing that could conceivably fit in a deeper, bigger idea.
Right.
But it's not going to be swapped out tomorrow. We're not going to find out tomorrow, the early universe was cold instead of hot.
Right.
That's not going to happen. That's not how science works.
Right, right.
So
if you're going to come up with something new, you're not coming up with something that will change the old. All you have to...
The old that has been experimentally verified.
That's done.
Right. If you're going to come up with something new about the Earth and the sun, it's not going to be, well, it's really Earth is stationary and the sun moves around the Earth and the sun is cold and Earth is hot and Earth is what's illuminating the moon. Right. That is not going to happen.
Right, right, right.
Okay? You can't just pull an idea out of your orifice and ignore experimental verification of what's going on.
Right. So you might come up with the Big Fang, but you're not changing the Big Bang.
Well, what's the Big Bang?
I get a C plus on that one.
Yeah, it's what came before the Big Bang. We call it the Big Fang.
The Big Fang? Okay, that's a B plus. If that's yeah. What's your thang? Yeah, that's
what's your
before
thang?
The Big Bang.
Yeah, it was before the Big Bang.
So, and by the way, when we think of Einsteinian physics,
right?
So it's relativity,
right?
Which completely usurped Newtonian gravity and Newtonian motion. All right. What we call the era of classical physics, which led right up to the late 1800s, Newton's ideas reigned supreme. All right. And he told you what gravity did, what motion did, and acceleration in a pre-existing space. And it was working. Okay. It was working. And then people said, well, wait a minute. The orbit of Mercury is not really following Newton's laws. And we said, oh, we got this. We know we got this. There's another planet you can't see that's tugging on it.
Right.
We even had a name for that planet. It was called Vulcan. Okay? A hypothetical planet tugging on Mercury so that we didn't have to throw out Newton's laws.
Right.
All right? So that was invoked just we just pulled that out of our ass, right? Said, there it is. We'll find it one day.
Right.
Einstein comes along with a special theory of relativity, and that is general theory of relativity. And what we find is that at high gravity, like near the sun, and at high gravity and high speeds, Newton's laws completely fail. You cannot use them at all. So did we throw away Newton? No, we didn't. You know why? Because if you take Einstein's equations and plug in low speeds and low gravity, they become Newton's equations.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yes. So Einstein basically enclosed Newton's ideas as a special low speed, low gravity case of a much larger, deeper understanding of the universe.
That is fantastic.
It is beautiful.
Yeah.
It is. And so, and by the way, Newton's gravity and Newton's motion were just fine for the Apollo project.
Right.
We got to the moon and back without any Einstein relativity at all. Okay? So it's only if you really up the stakes in your gravity. There's no way to understand black holes, really, or even the Big Bang itself, with just Newtonian physics. Point is, new physics does not undo experimentally verified physics. That's the whole point of experimental verification. That's all.
Look at that.
And so the Big Bang is just fine. You want to do something else with it? Take it, body and soul, and stick it in some other theory you have. But you can't undo what the experiments and observations have shown. All right, Chuck, that's three things you thought you knew.
Yeah.
One right after another.
And now I know.
What?
Now I know. I thought I knew, and now I know.
Okay. You were blind, now you see.
There you go. Okay. That's right.
All right. Yeah, I don't know how many of these I got left. We might have to change the format or something. If I run out, you know, you're done with me.
No, then it's things you thought you knew, but now you got to know again.
No, things you thought you knew, but then you did know, but now you forgot.
Right. Things you forgot. That's all.
Things you forgot.
Things you forgot.
Things I told you and you forgot. Hey, all right.
That's okay, we'll change it to this. How many times I got to tell you?
Chuck, thank you for rebirthing this format. How many times I got to tell
you? Twice. Okay.
That's not your mama told you that, right?
That's exactly where it came from.
All right. This has been Star Talk, Things You Thought You Knew. Neil deGrasse Tyson, keep looking up.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.